This is Soho Radio.
Hello, you. What a beautiful day. Oh my God, I'm hysterical. It's as beautiful as being back live. Nick, live for my 150th show. Come on. I only look 35.
150? That 150 shows is 300 hours of this rubbish.
Did you get me a cake?
No.
Thank you. I'm BB Birthday Girl Lynch, and you're listening to BB Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm all yours the next 2 hours. Should we do it?
Time will bring, or in peace our hearts will sing. of all people. She's in the dream that you had so long ago that lives in all of the hearts of people. Our hearts tell us
I'm Bebe Lynch, and that was Stevie Wonder and Happy Birthday. I've got to say, I think that's my least favourite Stevie track.
So why did we play it?
I don't know.
Because it's Martin Luther King's... But it was a song for Martin Luther King, isn't it?
Well, is it his 150th show?
No, it is
then
your
let's not
150th
mention, Then let's not mention...
Show. Not mine, because I wasn't there at the beginning.
You weren't there at the beginning. When did I drag you in?
Oh, I can't even remember.
About 6 months in.
Yeah.
We were in a coffee shop on Bermondsey Street called Fuck Coffee.
That's what it's called. Are you up for coffee?
Yeah, and we were up for coffee, and we had a little talk, and I said, "Hey, Nick, your career's doing nothing. Do you want me to step in?
Do you want to help? Plunge even further
for
into
about
obscurity.
5.5, 6 years for no money? Do you want to do that, Nick?
Yeah,
and you did. And
bizarrely, I'm still here.
And I thank you. Can I say something?
What?
That colour is so gorgeous; it makes your eyes pop.
Oh, I'm wearing a blue hoodie, which I noticed is filthy. I spilt food down it the other day. I didn't even realise. How embarrassing.
Well, it should be. Hey, and also
everyone.
The beauty
of radio. You don't have to dress up.
Well, yeah, but didn't you say to me, well, listen, I've got my Vaseline out.
Steady.
And I've got my my cocoa butter out. That's my equipment. That's what, you know, like footballers put on, you know, a sock on, you know, the left sock on first and the right sock on second, weirdly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. Or kind of, you know, touch the ceiling bit, you know, the Anfield you're never walking on. You know, they do the, bye. They do the...
Hugh is leaving the studio.
Hugh's got a great coat on. They, you know, they have their little superstitions, their little routine. Mine is to get my Vaseline out.
Mm.
You've never mentioned that.
As I say, 300 hours of this rubbish.
But what I will say is there's two police cars outside and I love a Rosa. And
I think they're waiting for you.
I'm ready.
Crimes against broadcasting.
Thank God I exfoliated.
So happy birthday.
So, hey, thank
150.
You.
That's,
thank you.
That's an
I know.
Achievement.
I do look. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
And
isn't
you
it?
Look so young.
I do, thank you. How old do I look, do you think? So I was in the Telegraph a couple of days ago.
That's nothing to be proud of, really, though, is it?
You are out of control. It was it's a groundbreaking feature.
No, your feature was, but I mean...
I'm teasing you. But they added a year to my age.
No!
Because in the copy I said, something's going to happen in March when I will be 55. So it means I'm 54 now. Yeah. And in the headline they put that I'm 55. So lots of people get in touch about the feature and I'm like, oh, that's lovely, thank you. I'm 54.
Why do they do that? Why do they always say, you know, sort of...
Well, because it's
Joe
relevant.
Blogs, 39.
It's relevant in the headline. It's relevant in the headline, yeah. So hey, how are you? What's been happening, me?
this is where you normally bring me in. You threw me when you said hello in the intro. I
like
didn't have
to
my mic
mess
up.
With your beautiful mind.
You think we'd be good at this by now?
I
after
haven't seen you since
shows.
March.
March the 12th, we worked
oh,
out.
What?
But it doesn't feel like it, and I'm quite proud of the fact that we kept this show
going
live and kicking.
Yeah, well,
kicking. All the way through, doing a sort of distance, at home broadcasting, but down the line, as
and it was
say.
Brilliant. And because you're brilliant, and you know, it sounded great, and we've got fabulous guests, and that's all lovely. But isn't it amazing being in the studio?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Honestly, I feel a little bit giddy. I've missed you. And I'm glad I'm seeing you again.
Thank you. You
can buy me a wine later and let me tell you about today's show. Our first guest is the wonderful soul DJ and singer-songwriter Emma Noble. Emma will be telling us about her brilliant new single, Woman of the World, and all about her Soho. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by jazz god, my great friend, Mr. Ian Shaw. I cannot wait. It's going to be a fabulous show. So please join in. Tweet at Soho Radio and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello. We would love to hear from you.
Soho. herself in this place, and she shines just like a star, and I swear I know her face, I just don't know who you are. Turn the music up in here, I still hear her loud and clear, like she's right there in my telling me that she wants to own me, to control me. Come closer, come closer. And I just can't pull myself away. Under a spell I can't break. I just can't stop.
I just can't stop.
I just can't stop.
This is BB Does Soho on Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. I've only said that about a million times. I've got it wrong. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search
Why
for
you
Soho
like
Radio.
That? You sound like Robert Peston.
What?
That bizarre kind of intonation. Sohoradio.com.
Because it was, I tell you why. Because you put this on your Mac.
Yeah.
Is it a Mac? Yeah, you put it on your Mac, and a space went weird. Oh. So it looked like command. And I was like, that's not a word.
I just.
Yeah. People don't need to. Jesus. Click on Culture and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. And that was Neo and Closer. Guess what? Our first guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, UK soul DJ and singer-songwriter Emma Noble.
Oh, hello.
Look
at that applause. Very nice.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It seems funny being out in Soho, actually, because I haven't been. We were just saying I haven't been out here for a while. Yeah. So
when was your last time here? Do you remember?
Oh, blimey.
82?
Yeah, back in 1964. probably a few months ago, I reckon. It's bizarre, but it's nice to be out and doing something music related.
Oh, I mean, has it all gone to poop?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a gig for months and I've done nothing music related, really. like, out in the real world for months and months.
It's so depressing. I can't bear it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even a musician, and the thing that I really was yearning for, I am kind of a musician.
Not even.
You? No, but
what do you play?
When I finish the sentence, that will make sense. If I finish the sentence, that will make sense. The first thing that I yearned for, like a couple of months in, I was like, it's driving me mad that I'm not doing it, was going to gigs.
Yeah.
Just live music.
Yeah.
And so as a performer, or, you know, and a DJ, I don't know how you're not doing it.
Yeah. Well, like, for me, it's like going at you. That's what I need to get, like, that sense of euphoria. Like, on the weekend, I get that from going to see music and gigging and stuff like that. So when you don't have it, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Just have to sink another 5 bottles of wine at
home.
Oh,
have you been drinking heavily?
The drinking went up a little bit more than usual. But I think everyone did that, didn't they?
No, I stopped drinking.
Did you?
Yeah, not deliberately. And my thing was white chocolate magnums. I'm down to 2 a day.
Oh, blimey.
I've got up to 4.
So another addiction in another way.
Honestly, it's disgusting.
4 magnums in one day.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
That's nothing.
It was hot.
In the flat of dreams, I don't have a freezer. Mm. So I was buying a box of 4, and then kind of, it was like a little test for myself. It was like an adventure. I don't have much sex. So it was kind of like that. It was kind of that. This was like the tension in my life.
You know who invented the magnum?
Who invented sex?
Roger Moore.
He invented both.
Roger Moore claims, you can look it up. Look it up, people. Roger Moore claims to have invented the magnum.
No.
Apparently, he was eating a choc ice one day and the chocolate got over his blazer
eyebrow
or something, his finely pressed slacks. And he thought, if you shove a stick in this, you won't get chocolatey. So he said, wouldn't that be a great idea to have a choc ice on a stick?
Yeah.
And he claims to have...
Yeah. That's a good... I mean, only James Bond would think of that.
Yeah. Only would. But I have to say this, Emma Noble. Producer Nick, my erstwhile lover to my right, is a liar. So that could be a real lie.
Right, OK.
I don't know.
I'll be aware of that.
Be aware of that. Just take it all with a pinch of sal de mer.
Perky today.
I feel absolutely hyper.
You like the catnip, okay?
Well, no, but last night I started sending out ridiculous emails about 10 o'clock at night. I think I'm on coke. No, but I don't have caffeine or anything.
Do you remember that time when you said to me, "What did you say?"
I had an accidental caffeine. I was in a meeting, and I came out of the meeting.
She drinks decaf, and she accidentally had caffeine.
And I rang Nick. I went, "They think I'm on coke. They think I'm on coke. I think I had an incident to caffeine. They think I'm on coke." I'm going to ring them. I'm going to say, "I'm not on coke." And he went, "That's exactly what someone on coke would
do. Those strong coffees, though, they send me doolally as well.
Oh, my God. But anyway, I'm down to the magnums. I have 4 a day, and I have them because the first one tastes like an ice cream. The second one gets a bit melted, so it's like a kind of slushy. The third one's like a milkshake. And then the fourth one's just like poop in a plate.
Anyway,
Emma Noble, good to meet
DJ,
you.
Sing a songwriter, Emma Noble.
So I Dante Banks. I adore him. And my Twitter mate, Dante, and he sends me a Sunday track for Bobo. Don't ask about Bobo. And he always sends me really, really brilliant songs. And he sent me your new single, and it's the best track he's ever sent me. And it blew my mind, and I love it. And that's why we got you in today.
Blimey, thank you very much.
It's just... Are you insane?
What, taking on a Marvin Gaye?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, a few people have said this, but I think it's interesting because the reason that I first got attracted to it was the message in the song. I mean, it's about female empowerment, isn't it? And I was like, the message of this song is so relevant and current now as much as it was back nearly 50 years ago.
Yeah, 50 years.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I also just love the song generally. I was like, everything about that song just spoke to me. The way you put it together, it's a really effortlessly beautiful song. And I was like, you could do a really good version of this sort of song from a female point of view. So I put it to the record label. And apparently they internally were like, "Christ, like, what's she thinking about doing that?" I didn't think about it because I was just thinking about the message rather than the fact that it was Marvin Gaye, you know. But they kind of like, "Well, let's do it and see." So we did it. And then it kind of, I think we changed it up. Like we changed the lyrics. So his one's about one singular woman.
Yeah.
We changed it up to be about plural women. So it became a collective female empowerment song. It's now sung from a female perspective, which changed the dynamic of it as well, I think. So I think all the little things we did changed up enough so that it became its own version rather than a straight up cover.
Wasn't his version on, or his version, his the original on a kind of a release that only came out a few years ago, wasn't it? Like his kind of secret album.
Last year it came out. It's You're the Man. And it was basically, so that album he wrote after What's Going On. And he basically, they released one song and it didn't go very well. And then Marvin just thought, this isn't good enough to follow that album. So they parked it. And also apparently Berry Gordy was saying that like a lot of the songs he'd written were quite like socially and politically driven. And he was like, that they're too much. No one's going to listen. No one's going to like it. No one's going to buy it. So they parked that whole album and then they brought it out in 2019 and it was on that.
Do you know, even saying the names, when you say Marvin Gaye, when you say Berry Gordy, I get goosebumps.
Yeah, same, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that extraordinary?
But it also blows my mind that that as a bank of work, that You're the Man that came out, that he will listen to that and think this
wasn't
isn't good enough. Like, what, you know what I mean? But for me, that Woman of the World song is one of the finest things he's ever done, I think.
I mean, it's just incredible. How beautiful was Marvin Gaye?
Oh, he's just great, isn't he?
Oh, my God. And Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
You love Elvis.
I love his nose. I love other things, but he had a great nose. You are kidding. He's got a Greek god profile. Mm. Would you ever cover Elvis?
I don't think I would, actually, no. I like Elvis, and I respect him.
A burning love.
But I don't know if I could do a cover of Elvis,
actually. Yeah, what could I do? I'm going to think about an Elvis song that you can do.
Yeah,
so who else is on the track with you? Like, I mean, all of it's amazing.
We've got loads of... We used a lot of session musicians. So it was produced by Tristan Longworth, who's like a friend of mine, into similar music. So he kind of gets what I'm into. Without him, it definitely wouldn't be what it is. Like, his musical talents and his, like, input that he put into it was just amazing. But we used loads of session musicians, basically, which are, like, people that Tristan has used on loads of other stuff. I'll get some of their names up because there's a massive long list of people that are on there. I'm really lucky to have so many talented musicians work like on there that again get that vibe. They're all kind of in the similar world. They all kind of work with and support a lot of like soul artists and things like that. So having them on board and then Tristan producing it definitely was like what brought it to the point that it was at, for sure.
So you're a total soul girl?
Yeah, 100%.
So am I.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. There's just something about it, isn't there?
It's just something about it. Someone said to me once, you know, why do you like it? It's too smooth. It's too this. I said, no, it's just whatever it moves in me. And my brain is quite frenetic. So actually, I like that smooth. I like that calming thing. And I mean, for me, and I guess for you as well, it was my mum's music.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it, isn't it? So, I mean, I grew up in a house where they were always listening to Motown and all the greats like the Rolling Stones, the Beatles and things like that. So I think when you're growing up and that's in your ears without, you know, it's subconsciously there, I guess you kind of sway towards it, don't you? But for me, it's like soul music is just, there's just speaks to me and I don't know what it is, but it's like...
It's ruined my love life though.
Really?
Yeah, because it's always like, oh, baby, if you leave, I'll die and da 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 da. So I kind of want to be with someone who'll die if I leave, but I don't want to leave them. Nick, do you understand?
I did. Well, yeah, tricky. But all music, I mean, rock music has similar lyrics and pop music has similar... Most songs are about, you know...
Yeah, but soul has that... Soul.
Soul, yeah.
Soul has soul, Nick. That's why it's called soul. Me and Nick aren't getting on. There's a bit of sexual tension. I know you can feel it, Emma, and I hope it's not making you feel uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I saw what you said to him when he offered you a mint earlier.
Well,
I mean, that says it all, doesn't
Emma,
it?
Emma, you showed me up because, you know, it's our 150th show, or rather BB's 150th.
Yeah, I did.
You walk in with a bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I didn't even think to buy a gift. So all I had in my bag was a tin of mints.
Tin of mints. Yeah. But, you know, tin of mints is always nice.
It's the thought.
But I want to say happy birthday because 150th show, that's quite a monumental day for you. So I thought, okay. I mean, there's always an excuse.
That's Prosecco, isn't it? It is opened. You have drunk half of it. But it was a really lovely gesture.
She just wants you to play our record.
That's basically.
We're going to open this while we play the record. Let me ask you one more thing, though, because this really makes me... So you're the youngest of six?
I'm the youngest of six,
I'm the eldest of seven.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you love your eldest sibling? How do you say it?
I love all my siblings, actually. I'm very fortunate. I get on very well with all of them. We're all very good mates. So, that's really good.
What's the age gap between you and the eldest?
It's 20, I think, 22 years, I think.
It's 20 years between me and Pat.
Something like that. Yeah. I always forget how old Lucy is, actually. But it's around 20 to 22 years.
So it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like mother-daughter age gap. Yeah. Mother-son age gap. Oh, my goodness.
Do you get on with all your siblings?
Yeah, we have. I mean, there's loads of us, and it's always like there's always ups and downs, but I love them dearly.
Yeah.
And they're all brilliant. They're all so handsome and gorgeous. They're like... we look like the messed up Osmonds. I'm the Nanny McPhee. I'm the hideous one. But they all look like this like pop star look going on. They all look like incredible. I really should have made money out of them at some point in my life.
You're like LaToya, aren't you? Marie's very pretty.
You're horrible. Before we play the song, when we are going to play it, I love this. How did you move from DJing to making music? Was that a really scary move?
It was all kind of a bit of a kind of happy accident, really. I was DJing with a guy called Frederick Akanda at a gig, and turns out he owns a record label, Swedish record label called Cosmos Music. DJed with him, got on really well, and then it was just at a time when I'd released some music with Lack of Afro, and we were friends on Facebook, and I think Fred...
Love Lack of Afro.
Yeah, so Frederick must have seen kind of this stuff that I'd done with Lack of Afro, and then I just got a message from Frederick saying, I'd love to talk to you about your artist side. Have you got any other ideas in the bank? Which I did. I was like, yeah, I have, but they're all like rubbish bedroom demos. They're not very good, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, send me your snippets and blah, blah, blah. So I sent them over to him. And then he basically said, go away, make them into proper demos, and then we'll have a chat. So I did that. And then we met up, had lunch, got drunk and got on like a house on fire. And then he basically said, I'll give you a record deal.
Oh, my God. How
so it's all a bit of a kind of... Right place, right time.
That's fate.
Yeah, that's fate. I think so, yeah. I do believe everything happens for a reason, and I kind of, I prefer it to happen that way than trying to force things into place.
Yeah, it feels stronger, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it then. So this is actually your second single.
Yeah.
And we're going to play your first next time, I think. But I've just wanted to play this because it blew my mind. So Dante, thank you for the gift of Emma. Emma, thank you for the gift of Woman of the World. Marvin, thank you for the gift. Producer Nick, thank you for your mint. Let's play Woman of the World.
Thank you for the music. Here it is.
Ladies, looking good. Women.
Emma Noble and Woman of the World. Oh, I mean, it's honestly just, it's an absolutely brilliant track. And you were just saying to Nick that you actually, you know, you like singing, you hadn't done much. You'd done some backing on a band, an acid jazz band.
Yeah.
But your own stuff. But you must have known you had that voice.
Well, I guess I knew I could sing a bit. But I was always, like I said, I was always kind of the backing person before with the bands that I was in. And then I did write some stuff with Lack of Afro, and then that was, I was doing lead vocals on that. But yeah, this is the first time that it's like me as the main solo woman as such. So the attention's all on me. So yeah, the prospect of that was quite daunting when we started it, definitely. Yeah.
It's very exposing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. But you're brilliant. And you got a video coming out?
Yeah, I was just saying then, actually, we had plans for kind of some big video things, but because lockdown happened, we had to cancel everything. So we went back to drawing board, like, what's logistically possible here? So we thought, well, let's get like an animation-based thing done. So one of my friends, Ewan Farr, is an illustrator and animator. So I sent the track to him and said, what does this conjure up for you? Have you got any ideas? And he put together a really nice animated video. His style's really interesting. It's very like almost like childlike, but like really kind of fun and playful. Yeah. So he's basically done an animated video of me singing the song in landscapes with other women around me and stuff. And I announced that today, actually.
Yay.
So that's good timing. And then we're going to have the full version out at the end of the week. Via a Phoenix magazine website.
Okay, so we will look out for that. So what's next for you musically?
We have another single coming out in the beginning of her first week of November called Table Dancers. That's a song that's quite different to the last two, actually. This one is a much more like kind of beat driven, heavy, anthemic like song that I wrote solely to make people dance, really. It's called Table Dancers. It's about when I go out and get drunk, I always end up getting off on tables and the bouncers try to pull me down.
Me too. It's so
do you?
Uncanny.
But yeah, so it's one of my favourite hobbies, is that. And
I've been an actual hobby.
Yeah, I've been thrown out of many a club in my past for doing
it. Maybe too. That's
how. Oh no, I get thrown out, but I can't reach tables.
You need to climb up on
them.
Well,
I will. I will do that next time. In heels? Do you go in heels?
I don't really wear heels because I'm a bit too tall.
How tall are you?
5'10".
Oh, you're so lucky.
But when I wear heels, it just doesn't work very well. Yeah.
Nick?
I don't wear heels.
You don't wear heels. So when's that? November?
November the 6th, I think. I think it's November the 6th.
Early November.
First week of November, basically.
So you have had... Woman of the World has such brilliant reviews already. A whole new level. We've got a brand new homegrown star in the making. That's Craig Charles, BBC Six Music. Thank you, Craig. Oh, no, it's Emma. And this has become something of an anthem for us. Gary Crowley, BBC Radio London and Soho Radio. So Woman of the World, the fantastic Woman of the World, is out now via Cosmos Music. For updates on everything Emma is up to, follow her on Twitter and Insta at Emma Noble Music.
BB Does Soho. Lucky Soho.
I'd forgotten that. I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture. SohoRadioLondon.com and click
There's
on Culture.
150 of these.
And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our amazing new studio on Broadwick Street. The Rozzers are still there.
Yeah, what's going on?
Marvin.
What?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mean to
You're
do
obsessed.
That.
You're obsessed.
I am, aren't I?
Oh, my God, what's going on? I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Emma Noble, and it's time for My Soho.
Oh.
Yes.
I've had to make notes on this.
Soho Radio. My Soho with BB Lynch.
So, Emma Noble, I interviewed the other Emma Noble a million years ago.
James Majors. Did you?
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it?
Yes.
So we got on very well. She was in Crossroads, wasn't she?
What? And she used to do Bruce's Price is Right, didn't she?
She was in Crossroads. She was the Dolly dealer.
Emma Noble, who married John Major's son.
Yeah.
John Major's daughter-in-law was in Crossroads.
And Bruce's Price is Right.
And Marvin Gaye used to live in Ostend in Belgium, which I think is the most bizarre fact about Marvin Gaye.
Why are you connecting that?
Bizarre facts about people. I like it.
Chuck them in there.
Why would international soul superstar Marvin Gaye suddenly move to a ferry port in Belgium?
Maybe you want to escape the fame.
Yeah.
Live a quiet little life.
I think that's exactly why. But yeah, that's an odd place to do even for that. You know.
Belgium cheese!
Chocolate!
Yeah, no, yeah, sorry, I got
and waffles.
But the cheese and the bread is still lovely in Belgium.
Welcome to the madness of this show.
Emma Noble, before you ever came to... where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Hampshire in a little village called Hythe. It's just near the New Forest.
Oh, do you love it?
I do, yeah. We grew up on a farm, so it's kind of heart of the countryside, which I do love. And then I moved to London about 10, 11 years ago to study and then never left.
So when you first came to Soho, what did you think it was going to be like? What did the name evoke in you?
Well, it's always got an exciting aura about it, Soho, hasn't it? I think it lived up to what I thought it was going to be, actually, especially when you go around here at night. Mm. There's something quite magical, isn't there, about when you walk through Soho.
Still got that energy, even though they're trying to knock it out of everyone.
Yeah.
It still has
it. Yeah, definitely.
Which I love. And so for you, it was like it was going to be exciting, and it was.
Yeah. And I think one of the main exciting things for me, what Soho had to offer when I first moved to London as a student, was the music scene here. Like the nights that were on. It's like you wake up and be like, I want to go to a salsa night tonight. I want to go to a soul night tonight. I want to go to heavy metal night. Not that I ever went to any heavy metal. Do you know what I mean? Whatever you want, you can get. And you're probably all within the in Soho as well.
So you could.
Well, exactly.
I can
vaguely
remember that.
I know,
It's the magical square mile. So what does Soho mean to you now?
Oh, Soho means to me now. Similar thing. There's still some good music places here, isn't there? There's only a handful of them left, but I still associate it with music, and I also like the small London boozers in Soho as well. The nice traditional ones.
Still got the feel, haven't
they?
We always ask our My Soho guests to think of three songs that for whatever reason remind them of Soho, whatever links. And your first one, I love this, is The Jam.
Yeah.
Going Underground. Why did you choose this one?
Well, it's just The Jam are a very iconic London band anyway, aren't they? And then obviously with them came the whole mod scene, which was linked with Soho and Carnaby and all that. And then just the lyrics, Going Underground. I remember when my first moved to London, every time we'd go underground, we'd always go, Going Underground! Everyone that visits London always does that. Like the first kind of week or two. And it's like, let's just stop that now.
I still do that at Waterloo Station.
Yeah.
Waterloo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it just
time.
Comes into your head, doesn't it?
What do you do at Cockfosters? Should we play the song?
Yeah, let's play the song.
I'm so sorry.
Have a pint of Fosters.
I'm so sorry.
With my out.
You're out to hate me, I've been enough already on my plate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust. As the lies will shut down and their promises rust. You'll see killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give what the society wants. I'm going underground. Shout for tomorrow. La 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 la. 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 La 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 la
That's the jam and going underground. Right, so we're now going to go through the names of my siblings.
Yeah.
No, you. So how are we going to do it?
Well, we were just trying to. We've worked out we've got one brother with the same name.
Yeah. During the jam record, BB and Emma were just. Realising how much they had in common.
How much we had in common. And I was saying I had a great Paul Weller story and it involved my brother Martin. And you went,
one of my brothers called
right,
Martin.
Right, OK.
OK.
So, eldest.
Lucy.
BB. Next down.
Bob.
John.
Simon.
Martin.
Martin.
Yasmin.
Tom.
Michael.
Scissors.
Emma. I feel like I've missed someone out. What if I haven't? Lucy, Bob, Simon,
you
Martin,
have missed
Tom,
someone
Emma.
Out.
Lucy, Bob, Simon, Martin, Tom and Emma. Lucy, Bob, Simon, Martin, Tom and Emma. Tom. Have you missed out Tom.
Have you got a Daniel?
No.
Patrick?
No.
Well, then you lose.
Ah.
Isn't it amazing there's been 150 of these and I still haven't taken us off air? Radio gold.
What's your favourite Soho? Soho
if this
bar.
Wasn't live, we could edit that out.
Oh my God! What's your favourite Soho bar, restaurant, or venue?
Well, I was going to say my favourite was Madame Jojo's, and that obviously got knocked down. That has a lot of memories for me. That place used to come here a lot with my like mates when we moved to uni, and also the 100 Club holds a lot of kind of nice feelings for me. It's obviously got the longest running soul night there, isn't it? Which I've been to and seen a lot of wicked gigs there. And I've been lucky enough to DJ and perform there as well.
Nice. You've also DJed at the Royal Albert Hall.
I have, yes.
Come on.
But I'll explain that though. That's it was during the day, and it wasn't for the whole stadium. It was during the day for a woman in music event.
Still brilliant.
Yeah, and I should also add that my sister works there. She's quite high up there.
Still brilliant.
So she kind of got us in there. But yeah, still we can say that we can put it on our list of places.
Which sister works there?
Lucy. I've only got one
Lucy.
Sister.
Lucy.
One sister, four
you've
brothers.
You've got one sister, four brothers. Yeah. I've got one sister, five brothers, six
My
brothers.
God.
How many have I got?
I don't know.
I've got one sister, six brothers, five brothers. What's the best gig you've seen in Soho?
This was hard, actually. Mm. I mean, a lot of good gigs I've been to have been at Borderline. Is Borderline still open?
No,
I don't think it is.
No. Oh, it's such a shame, isn't it? I saw who have I seen there? New Street Adventure, who are good friends of mine. They did a wicked gig there. Again, the 100 Club, a band called the Monophonic. At the 100 Club, that was another really good gig. And then, to be honest, also Gaz's Rock and Blues, which is at St Moritz, is again one of the longest running nights. We used to come to that all the time, and that we saw so many good little gigs down there.
Do you know, I never went to that.
Did you not?
No, I don't know how.
I think it's still going.
Why didn't I go?
You should go now. He always has wicked DJs in there. And
I love that it's
bands.
A Swiss restaurant, which is amusing for a start.
But then it's so small,
but they
isn't
have
it?
Gigs there.
Yeah, you go down there, and it's like a little cellar, really, and it's tiny, and you probably can only fit about 60 people in there, but it's just so compact and small. It's a perfect little place.
Will
for
I get
gigs.
Claustrophobic?
No, I don't think you would actually.
Okay.
No.
Are there windows?
No.
No. Okay.
So yes, you would.
So yes, okay. Favourite Soho character?
Well, this was, again, tricky. There's not that many people that kind of have lived in Soho as such, is there? Well, obviously there is, but people that I would relate to. I was going to say, if Eddie Bill is still on the show, I'd say him, because he's a very good friend of mine, but he's not anymore. So then I was actually listening to Cat Stevens' Desert Island Discs the other day, and he was from here. His family owned a restaurant.
Are you ready?
Oh, no, you've got a Cat Stevens song.
Common.
He was my mum's first boyfriend.
Get out of town.
He was on Desert Island Discs.
He did one last week.
When I say first boyfriend, so Cat Stevens, when he was
God.
Stephen Giorgio, my mum lived on Neil Street above Frank's Caff, and Stephen Giorgio went to school with my mum and my uncle Meru, and Meru and Stephen made a band, and Meru was on drums and Stephen was singing, and Stephen was getting all the attention, so Meru got angry and broke his nose. They used to rehearse my nan's front room, Stephen Giorgio left, after with broken nose bleeding, left the flat with an outside toilet, and then 6 months later was number one with Matthew and Son.
Oh my word. What are the chances?
How fab is that?
That is a brilliant story.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Cat Stevens is my guy. I love him.
I really want to meet him one day and say to him, what I would love is him to look at me and go, you really remind me of someone.
Yeah.
And I'd go, who? And he'd say, no, no. And I'd go, who?
Yeah.
And he'd say, Jane McDonough. I'd go, no, who? He'd say, Nanny McPhee. I'd go, no, who? And he'd say, her name is Bebe. I went, oh. It would make me cry.
He probably might. I met him once. He's fascinating. He's got real charisma. He's one of those kind of savant type. You know, you feel he's very wise. And
yeah, definitely.
You. I reckon he probably would.
Oh my God, it would make me cry.
Yeah, he gives off a really calming aura, doesn't he? Yeah, listen to his Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah,
I will. That's
really
so mad. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, let's hear your second song. What did you choose? Fancy.
I can't remember. Oh yeah, Fancy, Bobby Gentry. So she's not obviously linked to Soho at all. She's American. But this song really reminds me of that of my first year when I moved to London, talking about them when we used to come out to nights in Soho and be like, this is the greatest place on earth. And I heard that song. Actually, one of my lecturers was playing it as I was leaving a lecture. I put up on his big screen. I was like, what song's that? So it reminds me of my first year of university, my first year of living in halls. It became a bit of a song that all of us really liked when we were living there. And I'd always put it on in my bedroom and everyone at the end of it was like, Emma, can you stop playing that song? But yeah, it just reminds me of my first year moving to London and the social life that came with it.
Here it is.
I remember it all very well. Looking back, it was the summer I turned 18. We lived in a one-room run-down shack on the outskirts of New Orleans. We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least, we were hard-pressed. Then Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing dress. Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and she painted my eyes and lips. And then I stepped into a satin dancing dress that was split on the side, cleaned up to my hips. It was red velvet trim and it fit me good. And staring back from the looking glass was a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Lord, forgive me for what I do, please. But if you want out, well, it's up to you. Now, don't let me down. Your mom's gonna help you move uptown. That little bit of perfume on my neck, and she kissed my cheek. And I saw the tears well up in her troubled eyes when she started to speak. She looked at a pitiful shack, and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. Your paw's run off, and I'm real sick, and the baby's gonna starve to death. She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said, to thine own self be true. And I shivered as I watched a roach crawl across the toe of my high-heel shoe. It sounded like somebody else that was talking, asking Mama, what do I do? And just be nice to the gentleman, Fancy, and they'll be nice to you. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Lord, forgive me for what I do. But if you want out, well, it's up to you. Now get on now, girl, you better start moving uptown. Well, that was the last time I saw my ma. Then I left that rickety shack, cause the welfare people came and took the baby. Ma died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate had started to turn, and for me there was no way out. And it wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mom had been talking about. I did what I had to do, but I made myself a solemn vow that I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when. I couldn't see spending the rest of my life with my head hung down in shame. I might have been born just plain white trash, but Fancy was my name. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. It wasn't long after a benevolent man took me in off the street. And 1 week later I was pouring his tea in a five-room hotel suite.
Yes, it was.
Well, I charmed a king, a congressman, and an occasional aristocrat. And I got me a Georgia mansion in an elegant New York townhouse flat. And I ain't done past. Self-righteous hypocrites that would call me bad and criticize my mama for turning me out, no matter how little we had. And though I ain't had to worry about nothing for now 15 years, I can still hear the desperation in my poor mama's voice ringing in my ear. Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. Uptown.
I nearly just had a near-death experience. Mm. I can't talk about it. I can't give details, everyone.
You should have been wearing goggles.
One of us should have been. Blimey, O'Reilly. That was... My adrenaline is through. Sorry.
That.
Oh, okay. So we were opening the bottle of Prosecco that that Emma really, really sweetly brought along. And
I was getting ready to open it on air, so I took the little twisty metal cap off, ready to pop the cork when after that Bobby Gentry record. And it suddenly went off on its own.
Exploded.
And the cork popped out. Luckily, it didn't fizz everywhere, but the cork hit the ceiling and it made
Are you okay, Nick? I feel like you're a bit nervy now.
I thought that was an assassination attempt.
You just put, well, finally, someone's noticed
after,
me.
After a glass of that, your nerves will be settled. Thank you.
I'm pouring it now. Oh, there
we'd just like to add that we're having a glass of Prosecco so early on in the date because it's your 150th.
Thank you.
Show.
It's my 150th.
It's 5 to 1 and it's after midday. You know.
And I had a little chocolate, bar thing on the train and had to, I can't even talk about
Cheers.
It.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for having me,
thank
guys.
You so much, and thank you for my drink, and thank you for Nick. Thank you for being you. Happy birthday, everyone. Happy anniversary. Cheers.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
Emma.
Yeah.
What's been your most memorable night out in Soho?
Now, this is a bit of a funny one. I didn't know if I should or shouldn't say this, but my first night out with my now fella, we knew each other, but then we met up again after many, many years. Met up in Soho, got quite drunk, cut to the next scene. It's very late at the night. I get in a tuk-tuk and basically steal it, ride it down one of the roads, and then the guy whose tuk-tuk it was... sees me, starts running after me. And I was young at the time, young and didn't realise. He was running after me and I thought, I'll keep going because it's just quite funny. But then he realised he was running faster than I could pedal it. So I got out and Will was with me as well. Will was laughing.
He wasn't, no.
Got out and I was like, run! Left the tuk-tuk, started running, and then he caught up with us. And as he caught up with us, he knocked Will over the back of the head. Will fell to the floor. And then I would stopped. I was like, I'm sorry. And then anyway, the police ended up getting called. The police came and the policeman basically said, well, you could get done for assault because you smacked him and you could get done for theft.
Yes.
So I suggest you both just say sorry to each other and get on with it. And I was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, I'm sorry. And then we went off on our own.
Someone didn't want to do the paperwork
and
there.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Exactly,
Someone was near retirement and just thought, I haven't got time for this.
And then we were like, well, what should we do next? So we went onto the casino. Went to the casino.
This is the first night.
And then we went to the casino. Can't remember much of it apart from being thrown out of the casino. And then we woke up the next morning and Will just found a photo of a £100 casino token on his phone. So we must have won 100 quid at some point, but we couldn't remember it.
Unbelievable.
Most of your stories seem to involve drinking.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It does, doesn't it?
See, I am perfectly behaved on first dates and can never get a second date. So what I'm the lesson here is
steal
I need
tuk-tuk.
To steal something, start a fight.
Go to a casino.
Yeah.
Lose a fortune.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
But I did know him before that, though, I must add. So it was kind of...
But he saw you in a whole new
And you're still with him now?
Yeah, yeah.
What and happened also, to the tuk-tuk? Oh, yeah. The guy got it back.
He got it back, yeah.
Policeman still in touch with him?
Policeman's probably retired now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't condemn that, obviously. I wouldn't do that now. It's very naughty to steal a tuk-tuk. That's someone's livelihood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Emma Noble.
Thank you for that apology.
Thank you for that apology.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah.
You're a liability.
I know.
Thank you. If you were Mayor of Soho, what would you do or change?
I would bring back all the music venues that they've closed down. Madame Jojo, starting with that. Borderline, bring that back. There's a lot of other music venues that have been shut down, haven't they? So that's probably the first thing on my agenda.
Story, yeah.
And then I would also enforce let things stay open later. Because for some reason, Soho, everything seems to close really early, even before all this.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's like, you know, close at 11. It's like...
But that was the whole joy of it. There'd be like a secret little place here, a secret, you know.
You have to have an in to know which places stay open a bit later, don't you?
Yeah, I
like
which
I do know, but I'm not going to say them on air.
Do you?
Otherwise
you do know. I know a couple.
They are there.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Yeah. Free Wi-Fi,
really. Sum up Soho in three words.
Eccentric, energetic, and timeless.
Oh, write those down, Nick. Write those down. They're pretty good. We'll use those. We'll steal those. Yeah. It's been... Stick around. Stick around. We'll play your last song. Thank you for the booze. It's so lovely. Thank you for remembering.
Thank you very much,
Nick,
for having me. It's very
you
nice.
Are so welcome. It's been so lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
And you are. What do you think about me and Nick? Do you think, well, do you,
I think
do
it's I, lovely.
It is lovely, isn't it?
It's a nice dynamic. Yeah. I think it's nice to. You've got to be a bit silly. There's too many sensible people.
No,
isn't
I mean
there?
About the sexual tension.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
see,
that's, yeah. Yeah, it's just delusional.
Well, we'll see what happens after you finish that bottle of Prosecco.
Do you think we'd. Do you think we'd look like a good couple together?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah. so. I mean, he's a bit older than me, but
nice.
For updates,
catch the next scene.
Yeah, BB on her own,
casino
outside, crying. It's fine.
Up to BB in a tuk-tuk.
Yeah,
where is he? Everyone, it didn't work.
Damn her. For updates on everything Emma is up to, follow her on Twitter and Insta at Emma Noble Music. Honestly, such a joy to meet you. Thank you for coming
you
in today.
Too.
Please introduce your final Soho track.
My final Soho track is Kitty, Daisy and Lewis. I can't remember which one I picked.
Oh, Mohair Sam.
Yeah.
Which is a classic sort of standard song.
Yes. Because, again, Kitty, Daisy and Lewis was one of the first bands I saw when I first started coming to London, playing at Gaz's Rock and Blues down there. They're all brothers and sisters, and they just amazing, very cool. They are amazing musicians, and they all swap instruments in between each song as well. Very cool. And yeah,
even the Osmonds don't do that.
They're very good. Look, check them out. Have you heard of them?
They used to do stuff here.
Yeah, they did, yeah. So Kitty, Daisy, Lewis, and I'll put this out to all my, like, Sophie, Rose and Laura, because they will remember this as well.
Here it is, Emma.
Shall we?
Thank you,
Emma.
Thank you. Walking good, looking more handsome.
BB does Soho.
Hey, BB.
On Soho Radio.
Welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho. I'm BB Lynch. Ooh, that was Lack of Afro and All My Love featuring Juliet Ashby. I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our... What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Well, you were making movements.
No, I was just scratching my face. Oh. Is that not allowed?
And we have peripheral vision,
yeah.
And we have an app.
Are you reading this?
Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautiful new studio on Broadwick Street. Come down and say hello. If you're too shy to say hi, tweet us at Soho Radio or at BB Lynch. We would love to hear from you. So the brilliant Emma Noble just entertained us with tales of her Soho in just a few minutes. Jazz God Ian Shaw will be here. God.
Jazz God.
But you are.
Well,
I'm going to sack you on the 150th
enthusiasm.
Show.
Enthusiasm.
Okay. But first, let's play a track. It's Melanie Masson and Why Don't You Love Me?
Yeah.
Fantastic was that. I'm just taking my earrings out, everyone. Look, this is just a bit of a showbiz behind the scenes.
Did you put your earrings back on
for a photo?
Greet
for a photo
next guests, and then for the photo.
For a photo, and also I've got a good bra on, and I've got had earrings. You know why?
Why?
Ian Shaw.
Oh yeah.
That was.
I hate to break it to you, but I'm not sure if Ian's going to be that appreciative of your new.
Did we ever have sex?
Of good
yes
bras?
No?
I can't remember. You measured my head once.
I did measure your head, and that was very.
Let's call it sex.
That was very, very fulfilling.
As Julie Waters would say, it's good to have.
That was Melanie Masson and Why Don't You Love Me. It's a brilliant track, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Loved it. Really love it. Guess what? Our final guest is here, and he had to be here on my 150th show. Would not have been the same without you. It's Jazz God, country's greatest jazz singer, my friend. And he's bought buttons.
I've bought buttons too.
It's Ian Shaw.
Oh, it's lovely to be here for your 150th year.
Ian, honestly.
This button soup, just for wireless land, is, it's, can we brand name on this? Of course we can, yeah.
Of course you can.
Galaxy, Reese's butter thing, and then Raffaello, because I thought the Raffaello, because
it's like a white chocolate.
Because I look Italian.
Isn't it?
It's the sort of thing that Kate O'Mara would eat on a boat.
Oh, and I...
So there it is.
On a North Sea car ferry.
Yes.
I saw Ian recently, and I was telling Ian, so my friend Tracy, hi Tracy, when we're on, because you know I don't have sex. So when we're on,
do you ever worry that you reveal too much of yourself on this
Maybe.
Show?
Yes. When we're on Hove Prom and we're sitting having socially distanced coffee.
That was sex for me.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we'll see topless men running by, and Tracy will go, look at that gift. And I'm like, oh, good Lord, that is a gift. Yes. And my inner Kate O'Mara's come out. And so I said to Ian,
The young people say snack. That's a snack.
That's a snack.
That's a snack.
That's new for me.
That's
I like
snack.
That.
Well, I'm watching my weight. So gift's better.
Banquet.
That's a feast.
After 10 p.m. Where are you all?
I love my button soup. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Do you want that bowl back?
No, no, it's for you.
I have to say, it's now raining quite heavily and people are sheltering in the window just outside. And I do feel, she's looking the other way now that you waved.
I do feel that
we're being judged because we're clearly on the radio talking into microphones and she can see the bottle here.
Yeah, good.
And we're swigging the Prosecco and she just gave me a look.
She gave you a look of lust because your jumper is making your eyes pop today. And I don't think you know how dangerous you are when that happens. Ian?
He's a beaut, isn't he?
He's a beaut. You're a beaut. Can I say something?
Go on.
A, I love you. And B, how's Rona treated you?
I don't know. I had the shits for 3 days. I don't know anything. My neighbour next door is a doctor. And she said, oh, yeah, that could be low level Rona.
Really?
Miley, we like to
or
call it.
Or a bad curry.
Really?
Yeah, just getting a bit nervous. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's the same as everybody. My thing is worrying about the best bass player in the world who's having to retrain as a pizza delivery man. You know, I mean, that's really hit us for all it can do, really. That's kind of, I'm more shocked by that than, I know he kind of reneged on it a little bit, but just to have that in a thought process.
This is a disgusting government. What's appalling and what's extraordinary is they will sell Britain on the arts and the culture, which is pretty much our greatest export. Mm. So we're, you know, British because of the music and the fashion and blah, blah, blah. And then then completely dismiss it.
But they're a bit thick, aren't they? Because it's not about the arts. It's about the everything that's around the arts, which goes from the crew, which goes from the crew, which goes from the making of the things that make the arts, which goes from the catering that does the thing, which goes from the tube driver that drives the tubes to get to the arts.
If you want to talk numbers, it's 100 times more than the fishing industry.
Yeah, it is, actually. And the Venn diagram. You know, you're actually right. Yeah.
Fish!
Oh, look, there's another immigrant. Oh, in my boat. No.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I saw something interesting online. Somebody said, just because we love what we do doesn't make it any less of a job. If anything, we are the ones who got it right.
Isn't that brilliant?
That is
beautiful. You need to make money from what you enjoy, really.
Yeah, I love that. Do you regret dating Priti Patel?
Hugely. I mean, you remember that occasion, don't you? It was about, I think, 5.5 years ago. Yeah, and it was, yeah, it all went wrong on Tinder for me. Wrong app, really.
You swiped the wrong way.
I swiped up. No, I swiped down.
I punch up, I punch down. Why can't Priti Patel pronounce her G's? Because she's sitting somewhere.
I don't know.
She's eating, drinking.
The thing that amuses me about all this kind of the social media kind of interaction, that everyone's got their sort of personal conduits to everything. If she sees that, and I'm sure she does, so one of her comms would look at it, would she have elocution lessons? You know, I don't mind people who can't pronounce the G's, but would she look at that, or would she think, no, I am actually the devil, I'm not going to perform?
It's weird, isn't it? Because you'd imagine anyone that goes into politics would be, I mean, this is totally idealistic and I know wrong, but you would hope that anyone would go into any kind of position like that would be doing it for the greater good because they want to make a change in the world. And I don't think that happens. And I think what happens is its ego goes in. Yeah. So they just want the power. It's about power, not what they can do.
You could count on one hand the amount of British politicians that have been in the last 50 years who I think have genuinely had
wanted change.
The country's
Tony Benn, Diane Abbott, they're all there, aren't they? You know.
But then that follows that if their ego is such like that, then I do think they will look at their Twitter. I don't think they can resist it. I think these comments will hurt. I do think these, you know.
I think Andrea Leadsom puts lip gloss on to look at her Twitter. I mean, it's just. In my grand old age of 50, I don't really understand how politics is a thing anymore in terms of how people choose to organise their lives. I don't get it. It's beyond, I get all the think tankery and all the kind of Tufton Street stuff and all the dark forces that are clearly around us. But I don't actually get the, because we're all the same, really, aren't we? We're all kind of, you know, we are the same kind of thing, really. And I don't get exactly what you're saying to
Apart from Priti Patel.
Apart from Priti Patel, yeah.
What I find terrifying is that whole, we're going to talk about music in a minute, it's that whole, that politics now, it's propaganda.
Mm. Only propaganda.
It's only propaganda.
And the left is seen as even more so.
Yeah. Well, I love that do-gooders is now an insult.
Oh, God.
I mean, that was...
Common sense. I mean, it's 1953, isn't it? We're all in black and white again, eating from the gutter.
But you know why it doesn't matter?
Why is that?
Because us three are fabulous.
We are.
We're like the Mary, Mungo and Midge.
Here we are.
Of Soho Radio. We're the Rod, Jane and Freddie of broadcast.
Sitting in a window.
Do you want a Prosecco?
Drinking Prosecco.
Oh, go on then.
Do you want a Prosecco?
I gave you one.
You didn't give me one.
Well, I gave one to him. Yeah.
When you came out and you want, you said, would you like a glass of placenta?
I poured it to you and I never gave it to you. I'm so sorry.
Cheers.
Cheers, darling. Happy 150 years.
So, Emma Noble, our guest in the first hour, brought this bottle.
Brilliant.
And you brought me Button Soup. And Nick, what did you get me?
A bra.
I offered you a mint.
A mint.
That'll do.
You've been sucking on for five minutes.
It's very
minutes.
Lovely here, isn't it?
You've not been in the studio.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in the window. It's like sort of certain parts of Amsterdam. You know, it's kind of.
I might supplement my meagre income.
It is. That brick and that there, cobble, we're just on the corner of, where are we? Broadwick
and Poland.
Yeah, it's lovely. Poland. We're in Poland. Ian Shaw, while this has all been going on, have you found it? Because we're going to play We Stop Talking, your track with Jamie.
Oh, with Jamie Safier,
absolutely beautiful.
Thanks.
Did you, and you wrote it during lockdown?
Wrote it during lockdown, filmed it during lockdown, recorded it, some of it before, and we put the slide guitar on afterwards. Yeah. So it was all a bit, it all felt very daring and very new, and now it feels pretty kind of pat, I suppose, but certainly not the new normal, not for me.
No. Did you feel creative during the first bit of lockdown?
No.
Was it an effort to make this?
Yeah, it was an effort. Still is, really. I read a lot and listen to music a lot, but I don't listen to jazz. I listen to classical music or folk. It's almost like I've stepped into a whole new, you know, when you think, right, I'll just leave that. This is my year off. I hope it isn't, and it isn't because I'm working tomorrow. So, you know, grateful to be working. But no, I wasn't very creative at all, I don't think. I cleaned a lot. I did very mundane, creatively mundane things, or mundanely creative. I didn't bake anything. I can't really bake.
But you were active. I mean, it's that's still doing things, isn't it?
It is, yes. Eyebrows. It is. Yeah, it is. I wrote lots of stuff. Yeah, I wrote. I mean, prose. Yeah. I write prose a lot, but I didn't really write.
Well, you've
music.
Been writing some unbelievably brilliant posts about what's going on in politics, and I was reading them and I was going, these are like amazing. They're like poetry. They're incredible. Like super smart, super funny, but
thank you.
But super poetic.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's you kind just of making to really look. just with the very precise, concise language, just nail it.
That's very kind. Well, I just think, what would I like to read? And the stuff that I like to read is, I love Clive, you know, Clive James, and I love David Sedaris, and I love Bernadine, and I like things that are so massively kind of direct, they can't really be edited, and I hope that's what it is. And also, I try to make people smile a bit, you know.
Well, you do. Can I just tell you something I read on Twitter that made me laugh for about a day? John Niven quoted...
Always good value.
Yeah,
quoted David Sedaris, and the quote was, he was saying that people who are saying, well, you know, Joe Biden is no Bernie. You know, I mean, do we go for Joe Biden? And he said, they're the kind of people, and he quoted David Sedaris, and he said, I think it's David Sedaris, you're on a plane and the air hostess comes over, or air host comes over and says, would you like chicken or shit in a plate with glass on it? And then the person says, well, how's the chicken cooked?
Yeah, that really sums it up.
Isn't that brilliant?
My other favourite tweet of the year was, I don't know who originally coined it, but it was retweeted thousands of times. Somebody said, Priti Patel is the sort of person that would turn off your life support machine in order to charge your phone.
Yeah, they're all out there. It's brought out a very... I think it's brought out some wit, hasn't it, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, there have been...
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the wittest. But there's been... I'll tell you what I haven't liked, when people have kind of got neighbourly. But luckily that stopped.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Bit too much. Yeah. We're going to play the track, because I just think this is so beautiful. We stopped talking, Nick.
Indeed. Well, we played this a few months
ago. Yeah, we've played it. Oh, yeah.
We played, because Bibi and I did continue the show throughout.
Yes.
Which I'm quite proud of, we managed to do that. Bibi was in Brighton and I was in London.
Yeah.
We did it down the line. So here's the second airing on the show of We Stop Talking.
It's like she said, let's live. When none of this happens. We saw the doodle bugs, but there were jitterbugs. Everybody knew how your father loved you so. And now there's glory bells and righteous yells. We saw it all with no substance at their core. And your father couldn't tell you straight, he didn't see you grow. Why would such a good man go? I started walking when we stopped talking. So many ghosts to haunt you, so many songs to bring. I walk from west to east, I walk the city streets. You can never really go back home again. We danced to Molly at the Rainbow in our Friday best, and tricks and flicks, marine ices on Saturdays. Then it was camel coats and dirty river boats, and finding gills got heron cheaper in the racks of Lady Day. But I remember how she loved to sing, I can't stop loving you.
and I wonder where this music leads me to. I started walking when we stopped talking. Although I don't remember all the words to that sad song, pay me well and watch me cover it. And tell us what the past looks like to you. Don't rewrite. No, no, don't other it. I'll sing and I'll hope we can meet again someday. Shining new, but now it's history, it's youth, it was me and you, and now there's people trying to survive, seeking safety from the rules we thought we'd made before. So we'll close every door, forget what went before, pull the ladder up again. We watch these folks rebuild our roads, our lives, our hopes, and all we do is question every day. So history, she said, belongs to everyone. Lock it up, pretend it's unchanged. Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we start talking? When will we start walking? Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we stop talking?
Ian Shaw and Jamie Sophia, and We Stopped Talking. I love that.
Thank you very much.
I love that. And the video was so lovely. It was just you walking around.
Right at the beginning of lockdown. Yeah. Almost getting arrested. Almost
Did
fell
you?
Off a bridge.
Again.
Selfie, yeah. I know. Yeah. But that's down to Robert Elms' book, really. It was inspired by that. London Made Us, you know, memoir of a shape-shifting city.
Love letter to London.
And also, St Mungo's made a few bob from that as well, which I was really happy
Did
about.
Did they?
Because it was a direct link to their hub collection site, which was good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I loved it. When I say to Emma, when lockdown happened, like I didn't get the kind of urge to drink. I got the urge to eat Magnums, obviously. I'm down to two a day. But I didn't know white chocolate. You don't like white chocolate?
The vegan? No.
Love it.
I don't get white chocolate.
No.
I mean, it's not chocolate. It's like chocolate, and they're taking the chocolate out.
I like it married to dark.
I'm totally sacking him on the 150th show. No court in the land would judge me.
Vegan Magnum, really.
Really good.
Surprisingly uncardboardy. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'm off the Magnums. I'm down to the Magnums. But what I missed was live music, was seeing gigs. And the first gig I saw during lockdown, kind of live, was you and Claire Martin at Ronnie's.
Right. Yeah.
It was honestly like sucker. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Was it a
odd,
weird gig for you?
It felt very safe because it was Claire, and I've known her for so many years, and we know that show inside out. We put different things in it, but it was lovely to be in that room, but really peculiar. Yeah, there were eight people in the whole building. You know, four of them were driving the show. It was very beautifully produced, eight cameras and things. So, but you know, that's Ronnie Scott's. There are many venues who are equally good that don't have that tech.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if anything should happen, really, if Rishi's going to go along this route, maybe he could improve venues that can socially distance and put in some tech so that we can put stuff out online.
What a great idea.
I've written to my MP.
Have you?
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, it's things like that that...
When you start a letter to your MP, how do you start it?
Dear...
Oi.
Dear MP.
Dear MP. Dear my MP.
Yeah. But I mean, it was fine. It was lovely, and I did three Crazy Cox gigs on my own, which felt... okay, because it was quite normal, because I do a solo thing as well. But tomorrow's odd.
So tomorrow, is this your first time back at Ronnie's?
With my band, yeah.
Wow, and okay.
So they've flown in, literally, you know, from various places. Well, my Barry Green's flown in from Holland to do it. This is the third time that he's flown in.
Yeah.
So that hopefully third time lucky.
Well, and they didn't happen before.
Yeah, yeah, because these things were, you know, ever-changing as hours went by, never mind days.
No.
So hopefully it'll be okay. It's odd to get that. I'm putting in some new stuff too. But you know, you're a singer, the actual musculature of singing, because I haven't sung at all. It was the last thing I needed or wanted to do, you know.
I would have thought it would be the first thing you'd want to do.
Yeah, no. Play the piano a bit, but no, the singing thing was almost like, where's that gone? You know, will it come back? I've got a singing lesson later today.
You've got a singing lesson.
Yeah, so if Linda, if you're out there listening.
You have singing lessons?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Linda?
She's great. She's called Linda Coulter, and she's not the far-right Trumpian woman.
Because wouldn't that be an interesting hour?
Yeah, she comes over twice a year and takes me down to the bottom end. She's wonderful. So on Zoom, and she's great. I get 2 hours with her. She's wonderful. She's 81.
This is honestly, I mean, with absolute respect to Linda, what do you learn from a lesson?
Oh, I just ask her things, and she something. She taught me how to hold notes on, not classically. So, you know, rather than which is easy when you do it like that. But she got everything. She worked. She sort of crossed over from. She was at ENO as one of the in-house kind of doctors of voice. Really, she's Australian originally. And she still is Australian. She just lives in Peckham.
And she ceased to be Australian.
She's no longer Australian. And she just tells me things that I need to know. You know, she's very, for me, she knows. I mean, I went to her years and years and years ago via Denise Black recommended her in my 20s. And
that's so incredible.
If I'm feeling, I had a vocal called hemorrhage.
Did
I am
you?
The Adele of the jazz world, yeah.
You are.
Which is nasty things. You think, ah, you can't, you literally can't. Ah, you can't make a sound. I was in New York, playing in New York at Birdland.
When was this?
About four. If my manager's listening, she'll know the time, never mind the day. But Charlotte, you'll have to phone in. I don't know, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Mark Murphy was still alive because he helped me sing.
It's like a footballer pulling a hamstring
terrifying.
Or something, isn't it?
Yeah, but with no showers.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah. so we'll see tomorrow.
So how did that fix? Just by rest?
I went to the Meredith Edwards, who's the top bloke, and luckily my then other singing teacher, wonderful Pamela Jane Parry, who's sadly no longer here, she took me straight to him, and he's worked with Elton John and Annie Lennon, loads of people, but he's so nice, and down in Brighton, in Worthing, in fact,
really?
A clinic, and he just looked at the first time I was totally ripped off by a couple of Harley Street specialists, you know, hundreds of pounds. And he just put the thing on the television. It looked vaguely kind of surgical to me, vaguely wrong. And he said, you've got a vocal cord hemorrhage. Don't sing for 3 months.
And that was it.
Well, it just heals by itself.
No. Actually, I've remembered when it was. It was 10 years ago, you know, because I then went to record at Abbey Road and I shouldn't have done that, but I waited a couple of weeks and went straight
in there.
That's
so naughty. A couple of weeks.
I had to do it because it was all set up. The session was called the Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
It was called the Abbey Road Sessions. And then 10 minutes later, Kylie came out with exactly the same title.
Oh, she is.
She's terrible. How dare she?
And she got upset. Kylie Jenner.
stealing Kylie. Have a look at yourself, Minogue.
Yeah. Did she? Did she really get...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She's, yeah, yeah.
It's an Aboriginal word. It means boomerang.
I swear to God, I'm sacking you.
I just like to add colour to the...
You lie.
No, you look... You
what,
look
Kylie means boomerang?
Yeah. Google it.
Ian.
Sent from God, apparently. Ian. John. God sent.
Bibi.
He's looking it up. He's looking it
Bibi
up.
Bibi means beautiful queen, mistress, and old lady. It means respected woman.
Kylie is a flat, curved piece of wood, similar in appearance to a boomerang.
Come on.
When thrown for hunting birds and animals, Kylie is one of the Aboriginal words for hunting.
Wow. Yeah. Has anyone ever thrown Kylie to see if she comes back? I mean, she's had quite a career.
She's... She ever called an album Boomerang? Come.
She's spinning around.
Liz Truss tried to convince us that boomerangs were made in this country, so...
Liz Truss.
Yes. Yeah.
Liz Truss, who said that because there was too much cheese in, or we were exporting
we'll take it
too much
to
cheese.
Japan.
It was a disgrace. Something about cheese.
We have very good preserves.
Oh my God. I started watching The Thick of It at the beginning of lockdown.
Did you?
Yeah. And my brain couldn't take that. I interviewed the fantastic soprano Danielle Denise.
Mm.
And she said when she was pregnant, she lost her voice.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
I've heard lots of women say when they become pregnant that their voice drops about four or five notes, but she lost it.
Oh yeah, and then it came back.
Aww.
So when yours came back, did it come back the same?
No. When I did the session, Abbey Road session, I had this stratospheric thing which was so useful for doing kind of over Latin-y things. I did a thing called Obsession by Dori Kamey, which I've always loved. And I did this, just went into this thing at the end thinking as a joke, and the producer went, yeah, that's good. Keep going. I said, literally only dogs could hear it. And then that went... Almost like
it came back, sounded like Barry Gibb.
Yeah. Barry, yeah. But wasn't that Barry Gibb?
Or Barry Island, I don't know.
What's
Island.
The very low one? Barry Humphreys.
Barry White.
Barry Humphreys. Hello.
Well, we've got 23 minutes to go and loads of music still to play, so we should...
get him. I love it when he gets strict. I want to play...
I'm producing.
Sorry about that, Poppy
Keeping
Eyes.
You on track.
Sorry, Poppy Eyes.
Yeah, old Blue Eyes. Give him a bit of respect.
I want to play Somewhere Towards Love.
Oh, blimey.
When was this recorded? Because I love this track.
God, I can't remember.
Before or after the throat incident?
I think it was well before.
Sorry to interrupt, but a tuk-tuk's going by, and I swear that's Michael Gove driving it. Look.
That is Michael Gove driving a tuk-tuk.
See, look, he's found another job.
That's that why the Rozzers were here. Mm.
Leopard skin canopy.
Emma Noble nicked a tuk-tuk. Anyway, Somewhere Towards Love.
Mm.
Ian Shaw.
Diana Atthill.
Diana Atthill.
Inspired by her. I did a TV show with her, and she just filled me with such immense joy.
You know, I had the privilege of her writing to me for a feature, and she wrote something in this letter. Oh, she wrote about...
Letters of Note, wasn't it?
It was then on Letters of Note, yeah. This was a feature about that I hadn't had children and I was, you know, would I get over the grief of it? And she was asked to comment because she didn't have children, but actually that wasn't relevant because she didn't want children, so it was a whole different story. But the common ground was her fiancé died when she was very young and she talked about that she you know, got through it. And she wrote a line in the letter that just made me... She said she felt that she was going to have a life enduring grief. I mean, that totally... So it's still a life.
Mm.
You're still experiencing it, but you're always...
You just know.
It's always there.
It's always there, and not even necessarily in the background.
Yeah. You know,
it's always there. Just incredible. So you wrote this because of her.
Well, she, you know, famously had a... this great, isn't it? This spot. We're now looking at attractive people walking by.
It's a gift.
That's a look, isn't it?
That's a snack, isn't it?
It's a snack.
I thought I was distracted. Though.
Weight Watchers. where are we?
Diana Atthill.
Diana Ross. Diana Atthill. Somewhere Towards the End was her book about aging. That she thought she was about to die, and she lived another 16 years after that book, I think, or maybe slightly less. And I was so inspired by the book. I wrote a concept of loving people and chance and opportunity and going out and things. And it's the tiniest little things that you notice and you think, today's the day. And of course it isn't, you know, just phone another Chinese takeaway and watch some telly. So she inspired that particular song.
Let's hear this. I just think this is beautiful. It's Ian Shaw and Somewhere Towards Love.
It's a space between the houses where the sky is showing through. It's the chapter in the book you didn't think was really you. It's the look across a room from a man you'll never know. It's a shadow in July. It's a whisper. It's a show. On a day like any other, with a half-remembered friend. It's the table in the corner. It's the song without an end. It's a quarrel over something that you really didn't say. It's a moment in a moment, a play within a play. Some things you can hold tight in your hand. Some things unfold. Some things are planned. And sometimes beyond. Sometimes above. Always for you. Somewhere towards love. For the heart that's growing darker with the passing of the years. There are blessings to be counted at the end of all the tears. It's the one who wouldn't leave you. It's the one that got away. It's the child you couldn't father. The words you couldn't say. It's the touch of a perfect stranger who became a perfect friend. It's the waiting for the phone call. It's the card you mustn't send to the one who'll always be there when the days are getting rough. The one who thinks about you, but it isn't quite enough. Some things you can hold tight in your hand. Some things unfold. Some things are planned. Sometimes beyond. Sometimes above. Always for you. Somewhere towards love. Always for you. Somewhere towards love.
Ian Shaw and Somewhere Towards Love. How beautiful. Hey, Ian Shaw, when people come along to the show tomorrow, what are you going to be singing?
Well, we're doing it with people passing by, with people passing snack, banquet, breakfast. Picnic.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Inshaw was temporarily distracted there.
Doggy bag!
Walking past the window in very tight jeans. No.
Sorry, guys, I'm getting all
bored. We're all okay. We're all
solo
okay.
Radio. BB does solo. What am I going to sing? Oh, I don't know. All sorts, really. Last two albums, I think. Fear of Joy and Chances to Shine. And got a few new things as well. I haven't worked with my band since January.
Oh my God, so how excited are you?
I'm excited. I am very excited. There's some lovely people coming and it feels full there. I've been to a couple of shows at Ronnie's in doing your job, you know, sort of asking people funny things and it feels they've done a really cracking job of it, actually. The plexiglass works and it's all magical and glassy everywhere, but it feels full because they pack them in there. So when they don't pack them in, it almost feels like one of the New York jazz clubs.
So that's important. So it still feels safe, but it's still got that atmosphere. You've still got that feel.
I think people do feel safe in there. Yeah.
So I'm going to give out Ian's info at the end. I mean, his national insurance number mainly. And then you can just research him. But the big news as well, Ronnie's tomorrow night, there's a podcast.
I know, because the world really needs another podcast, doesn't it? Especially from some middle-aged ranting bloke. No, it's there. It's called Not Even Music, and it was produced by Jamie Saphir, who is so engaged with words as well as with music. You know, he loves singers, but he also voraciously sort of loves David Sedaris and Alan Bennett, and it goes on and on and on. He's not yet 30, so his kind of historical version of all those, finding them when he's in his 20s, fascinates me, actually. And he's such a good person to be in a room with and get something right, which involves tales of hopefully truthful tales. It's three little stories in each one. There's something from a book, which it comes out in the spring, also called Not Even Music, but it's a truncated version of that.
So why not music?
There's a lot of music in there, but it's the phrase came from when I first went as a volunteer to the refugee camps, and I was standing in Calais next to a clown called Toby Caruana from the Caruana family, and he was dressed as a clown, and I was holding all sorts of old guitars and keyboards, and we were looking at this awful, awful thing that we knew we were going to see, and that was so many panicking, displaced people wondering what they're doing in this enclosed but open space. And he said, well, the last thing they need here is a clown. And I went, I know, and I've got all this stuff from, you know, Not Even Music is going to get us through this thing. So the first episode is not that, but it's a tale of an extraordinary young guy that I met, a Sudanese guy that arrived with a briefcase in a suit, and his story is really fun. It's not funny, but it's kind of quite lyrical, and I'm vaguely in touch with him now. It's a happy ending. He ended up in Rotherham.
It's not that happy.
That's the first time anyone has. Yeah, that's a happy ending.
And there's a portrait of someone I love. The first one is Mark Murphy, who many people will not know, but hopefully we can introduce him to the great jazz singer, Ella's favourite jazz singer. Julian Clary's in the second episode. I think he's a bit concerned about that. Oh. I had to ring him up to ask him, what was it when you came on, you carried a bag at the John Mower House and you came on to, there was a ghetto blaster in your bag, what was the music? And he went, I think it was Lara's theme from the Gone with the Wind. I was thinking, is that Dr. Zhivago? Yeah, but anyway, so it's, you know, it's nice putting people who I know and talk to all the time.
This is kind of like your take on the world, what's going on, and voiced by you, like your words.
Yeah, it's me reading prose, which is quite interesting because I do that for a living as well, but only voice reading stories as a narrator or, but trying to find your own voice as yourself and not, but also reading as clearly as you can and not.
Well, I had a sneaky listen, I'm allowed to say that, and it was just absolutely brilliant.
Thanks
and
a
it
lot.
Is lyrical's the perfect word for it. It's really poignant and hard hitting, but in a really kind of magical, poetic, lyrical way. You're just,
cheers.
You know, I love you. You know that. So, for updates on everything Ian is up to, follow him on Twitter at IanShawJazz and go to IanShaw.biz. And the podcast is, I'm going to say the awful line, wherever you find your podcast. Is that allowed to say that? Am I allowed to say that? Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, both of you. Thanks a lot.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You, Nick.
Consider
thank you,
yourself
Bibi.
Had.
Oh, yes.
See if that gift is... You still hungry?
yeah, it's yours.
Let's play, I love this, Danny Ray, Pretty Things.
Oh, yeah.
A special, spent all of my money on her. I picked some rotten flowers out of the bunch, and now I'm about to light up the whole fucking window. It's my
really so wish you could. I pulled my body so 7 hours in heaven it was. I let the days go by in our slide. She hadn't even tried to get it back to me. That's a problem.
You're listening to BB Does Soho on Soho Radio. That was brilliant, Danny Ray and Pretty Things. Danny is a funk rock singer, songwriter, producer. 21.
Oh, makes 21. Makes you sick.
Oh, I'm scared of reaching 21. From West London. And he was first into kind of the Pixies and the Damned and Led Zepp, and then discovered funk and soul, Roy Ayers, Betty Davis, and now his sound is kind of straddles them both, and it's brilliant. I won't say straddles on air again because I know that upsets people. I'm sorry about that, everyone. Find him on Twitter. He's fantastic. At Danny Ray, two Ys, and on Insta at Danny Ray, one Y. That's confusing, Danny. Brilliant track. And now we're going to play another brilliant track from Friendo Show, real life friend. What did you say?
Friendo Show.
Friendo Show.
I'm reiterating.
We're going to fall out. It's our Emily. I love Emily Capel. And she is just released, I think it's come out yesterday, I think, with a new track with Dreadzone called Flamingo. Play the track and I'll give you a little bit of info about it after.
This is my story, the story of my life, the Christine Keeler story.
This is where it's at, there's no going back. We'll be right back.
My Girl, Emily Capel, Dread Zone and Flamingo. And it's called Flamingo and it's about the Profumo affair. And Christine Keeler, do you remember Christine Keeler in that chair? And Flamingo was the club in the 60s that they all kind of hung out in. And they wrote it earlier part of this year, and it's released now. And both Don Letts and Gary Crowley, BBC Radio London and Soho Radio's Gary Crowley, have been playing it on their shows, which is great.
That's great for Emily. She really deserves a wider audience. If you don't know her, please, I urge you to seek her out.
She's
so good.
I love her.
Yeah.
I actually love her. And she's on Twitter at Emily_Capel, 1P, 2Ls. I reluctantly need to say goodbye and thank my guests. Thank you, Emma Noble. How great was Emma?
Collective sigh of relief across the nation.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened today. Woman of the World is out now via Cosmos Music. For updates on everything Emma is up to, follow her on Twitter and Insta at Emma Noble Music. Thank you, my darling Ian Shaw. For updates on everything Ian is up to, follow him on Twitter at Ian Shaw Jazz and ianshaw.biz. The podcast is out today. It's going to be just brilliant. And Ronnie's tomorrow night. Go. Thank you, producer Nick.
Thank you for 150 glorious 300 hours of this. Wow.
And most of all, thank you for listening for all these years. I mean, get a hobby. That's it from me, BB Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. And I'll leave you with McCalmont and Butler. Yes. Yes. I love you, Soho.